2:00 PM. Presiding member declared meeting and order finance committee open at 12:10 and acknowledged the traditional owners, the Kariyarra people. Recording attendance.
Thank you. Councillor Van Voort as an apology.
So we have Councillor Van Voort as an apology.
And Bill Rambans.
And Bill Rambans.
Bill Rambans.
Approved leaves of absence, nil. Item 3, response to previous questions on notice. 3.1, questions from public and order finance committee members on Wednesday, the 29th, 2014. 3.2, questions from committee members and order finance committee meeting held on Wednesday, the 29th of January, 2014, nil. Item 4, public time. Important, this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of meeting to assist with minute taking purposes which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the time of the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland local law and standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings at any meeting unless the person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. 4.1, public question time. Do we have any questions from the public?
Yes, I do, Madam Chair.
Thank you, councillors. I have four questions I'd like to submit to the council for consideration. The first one, has the town received any funding whatsoever in the year 12-13 or 13-14 in relation to the Warwick Road Bridge from BHP?
Through you, Madam Chair. Yes, the town received payment in July 2013 of approximately $20 million. I'll have to get you the exact figure in relation to Warwick Bridge. In January this year, we paid the majority of that money across, I believe it was about $17 million, across two main roads as part of our contribution towards the bridge. As we continue to progress through the project, we'll continue to make progress payments to main roads.
As I assume that after the fact that there was no reserve account for any of those payments, yeah, but that may be utilised by the municipal fund during the period.
Through you, Madam Chair. The money was not required to be transferred off to reserve, but was recorded as unrestricted, as restricted cash within municipal funds. So recognised as a restricted source of funding.
And that money has now been transferred back to main roads?
No, I believe at this stage we've only spent around $17 million.
And it is now held in municipal funds?
It is held as part of municipal funds. If we were to, say, conduct our year-end process tomorrow, that unspent money would be shown as unspent grants and contributions as at reporting date.
The next question is Horizon Power payment. I noticed in the error adjustments in the airport usage, you made an adjustment, I think it was $600, where you reduced the expenditure of that almost $1 million, $800,000 that we indebted to the Horizon Power for the non-payment of the airport for nearly 3 years. It's been going on for 3 years, and I noticed that that amount of money has been paid for 800. I noticed in your adjustment, instead, I presume that the $800,000 that you quoted in your adjustment is debts to the users?
Through you, Madam Chair. That's to do with the accounting treatment at 30 June 2013. So in actual fact, the budget really shouldn't have included the money in 13-14 because it was a outstanding creditor at 30 June 2013. So the accrual has occurred in the previous financial year, thus the budget isn't required in this year.
Yeah. I just wondered why you didn't include that in income instead of reducing your payments like you did.
Because that
it's a debt raise, isn't it?
No, that particular budget line item is... excuse me. That particular budget line item is the expenditure side of the entry. So Town of Port Hedland paying the money across to Horizon Power. Sorry, you have to excuse my cough.
Thank you. The Airport Reserve. Mm-hmm. This is a question. The Airport Reserve at the present moment is getting a considerable amount of money. If we go back to the Precinct 3, notes of allocation or let's say business plan, the recommendation was there that we have a development reserve fund, which will, for the purpose of entirely of income being received through the sale or through the negotiations with business group. My question, could you consider re-submitting that account back again? Because at the moment, it's only a reserve account which includes everything. It's very, very confusing. But some amount of money that is set in there for Precinct 3 is not identified.
Through you, Madam Chair. At the moment, my understanding of how things stand is that there is one airport reserve account. We plan on doing a review of exactly what reserves we have and bringing a report back to council covering a reserve policy. And that sets out in a clearly articulated policy what reserves we have, what their purposes are for, what our targeted minimum and maximum balances would be. And we can certainly consider that as part of that process as to whether the current situation is the most appropriate.
If I remember correctly, the business plan that was submitted to the public and approved by our solicitors was that we do establish a redevelopment trust reserve fund. So,
thank you. If I can, through you, Madam Mayor, Madam President, Madam Chairperson. There's at this stage, Arnold, my understanding is there has not been any physical proceeds received from Precinct 3. So whilst we've done a number of transactions, settlement of those properties has not occurred and therefore no funds transferred through to that reserve fund. I think at this stage, the business case was advertised, and then there are certain council resolutions, and we'll have to just double check whether the resolutions actually took on the full business plan recommendations, or whether council accepted the transaction as distinct from the business plan. So we'll have to just marry it up.
The legal obligation, I was only reading yesterday, I did recommend separate out of the reserve fund, so it's just busy money that you know is for the redevelopment and not for other operational costs on the airport.
Yes, and we are endeavouring to look at how, at a budget level, we should be budgeting for expenditure and revenue from the airport, and then the proceeds of any profit should go straight into reserve fund. At the moment, as you're well aware, all revenue goes into the reserve and all expenditures coming out. We'd like to try to get to a position where we separate operations from capital, and ideally, unless there's a council resolution, the reserve should only be there for capital improvements, unless there's a year of particular need where council might resolve to bring other funds out for operational. But ideally, the airport will continue to operate at a profit, and there will always be a transfer to reserve for future capital requirements.
Yeah, the last one's a very important one, is that I noticed that in the last 2 months, I think it is, that the accounts for payment are no longer a privileged document. They come under confidentiality. So therefore, when I do your financial balances in your financial statements, I can't come back to your reconciliation, because your reconciliation shows the amount of money paid during that previous month. I don't have access to that any longer. So therefore, I can't justify that the financial statements are correct when the payments are not even presented to council. And I noticed the last couple of months, they're nearly 2 months behind schedule. So I really can't see how there's any confidential required for those payment of accounts.
Through you, Madam Chair. Those payment warrant reports that are produced contain a number, in fact, a numerous amount of private information around payments that are made by the Town of Port Hedland to individuals. I'm particularly thinking about payments to superannuation funds or reimbursement of or payment across of employee deductions. It's my professional opinion that those do not belong in the public arena and are subsequently provided to councillors under confidential cover.
Well, how can the ordinary person, especially myself as not a councillor, I get your financial statements, no problem with them, but when I go back to do a reconciliation of financial statements, I can't do it because I do not have any access to those figures that you've shown me as payments. I would not have the faintest idea.
Through you, Madam Chair. I'm probably struggling to see how you would undertake a reconciliation, and my reason for saying that is that whilst creditors' payments, which is the source of that document, provide information about who we've paid via way of creditors, it doesn't pull in costs incurred via payroll. It doesn't also recognise, say, income raised through accounts receivable or income that's just a direct receipt, for example, planning fees.
Nobody can ever reconcile income. That's an impossibility. What I'm talking about is expenditure. In
yep.
your bank balance, when you come through, you have previous bank balance. I'm talking about your reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have got underneath it income. I don't even attempt to reconcile that because it's fixed up with trust in here. Then it's got expenditure. Now that expenditure used to be the figure that was collated in the account for payment, which we no longer see. That's the figure I'm talking about. And from there on, then you go and do your bank reconciliation, bank investments, and your trust investments. But I can't balance back to your figures now because I wouldn't have a clue whether you're right or wrong.
Through you, Madam Chair.
I'm not being difficult.
No, I appreciate your point of view, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be difficult in return either. I guess we make payments out of our bank account for other purposes as well that wouldn't show up on that payments register. So unless I'm missing something, I can't see that they would actually ever reconcile because the payroll processing wouldn't appear on that creditor's report.
You're missing the object. Where you get out your payment, where you do your EFT and your checkbooks payments, in that is the analysis of everything that you have paid for the month.
Yes.
Right. And when that is posted to your bank reconciliation, that is the figure that is on that analysis, is the figure that is posted on your reconciliation. We used to have access to that. I used to tick that off and say, yeah, that's correct, I've gone through it all. Then I used to go through the whole reconciliation. But now there's no access to say that those figures which were previously analysed, which to me didn't mean that much, are no longer available to nobody except the councillors.
So through you, Madam Chair, my understanding of a bank reconciliation should be reconciling the general ledger to our physical bank account.
Yeah, we don't know what the figure is.
They're shown on the bank reconciliation?
You don't get the bank reconciliation, that's just only a total figure.
The bank reconciliation should have our balance as per our
that's
GL,
correct.
Balance as per our physical cash at bank account, and the only reconciling items should be things like unpresented checks or unreceipted deposits or deposits that have been received but not yet presented to the bank. The bank reconciliation should really have no further
You're missing the point.
Items on it. I'm sorry.
I understand the bank reconciliation is quite well, but what I'm missing the point is there is no verification to be that figure that is on you is correct, except the councillors do know because they get it. Now, why can't that be available to anybody here? So correct. It is done, it is itemised, it comes to council, it's on the reconciliation. The reconciliation is accepted before the financial statements are presented to the council.
Sorry, could you just repeat that bit for me, that last bit?
In your financial statement summary is an analysis of everything that transacted for that month, right? Including all the payments you've made under EFT and checks. this one document.
Yes.
That one document is given to council, no one else. That comes before council for adoption. It's not indicated for anybody else to see except councillors.
Through you, Madam Chair, would there be a preference to see the top summary sheet put in public?
Yes.
And the payment warrant left in confidential?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the detailed listing could remain in confidential.
Absolutely.
But the summary sheet at the front would be, and that's effectively a creditor's reconciliation.
Exactly.
Our creditor's reconciliation can pull into the public section.
That would solve the problem, because you did have the documentation from the hunting.
Right, ooh. Lovely.
Done.
Solved.
That's all I had. I will admit the financial books are going to be stuck.
Yeah, correct.
Sorry?
Thank you.
Is there any more questions from the public?
Thank you, Acting Presiding President. Councillor Jan Gillingham, just one question. I'd just like to ask that as Mr Carter has a continued keen interest in the Audit and Finance Committee and the finances of our town, is there any further info regarding Mr Carter becoming possibly a community member of the Audit and Finance Committee? If there's any more further developments? Thank you very much.
Sorry, Paige. So, through Madam Chair, there is an agenda item on the agenda today. So that'll be for the committee's consideration.
Right, I announce public question time closed at 12:27. 4.2, public statement time, opened at 12:27. Any questions?
So much.
Announce that closed at 12:28. Question 5, questions for members without notice.
No questions, Madam.
No? Mayor Heller? No questions without notice. Item number 6, declaration by members who have due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before the meeting.
Just
show of hands.
Three now. Item 7, confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. Show of hands.
No points of clarification. No, may I have to move that.
Seconded.
Maybe
just second.
3-0. 7.1. Just on that. Is that right?
Yep.
So item 8. Announcements by presiding members without notice. No. Nil. Item 9. Petitions, deputations, presentations, or any submissions.
Nil recorded.
Nil recorded. Right. Item 10. Reports of officers.
So item 10.1.1.
Planning and development.
No?
Okay, so... Okay, Portland Visitors Centre quarterly review, October to December 2013.
No points of clarification, Madam Chair.
And the recommendation is on page 21. Any points of clarification?
No points, Madam.
A mover and a seconder,
please.
Happy to second. Yeah. 3-0. Okay, 51 for the next one. Colin Matheson, I will pop them.
Page 51. Okay. 10.2, community development. 10.2.1, Colin Matheson, Oversalt Club Room, second quarterly report, Port Hedland Rovers Football Club. Any points of clarification? Yes, officer's recommendation is on page 53.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I just have a point of clarification in relation to page 52. There was a revenue show of $14,284. Just had a query with regards to the amount will be halved, and I just wanted to know what date that period covered, that revenue.
Through the chair, the figure of $14,284 is an ongoing figure which reflects the period from the beginning of this financial year through to.
So it was July 13 to current.
Yes. There was, through the chair again, if members could remember that there was some ways, I guess, that the Rovers were, identifying their own club usage of the facility within the statements as at the last quarterly report, clearly, which was not the intent of the management agreement. We've had since had them correct that, and that's provided with an updated figure.
So that was my second question, was the $200 higher fee.
Yes, all of those entries that were previously in there, which reflected the club's own usage of the facility, has been removed.
And that $14,000 now reflects the correct figure, Madam Chair. Sorry, through
the chair, yes, it does.
Thank you.
Any further points of clarification?
No points, Madam Mayor. Okay. Madam Chair, so
motion. Moved. Second, McAllen. Show hands. 3-0. On page 69, we've got 10.2.3. GP Housing Quarterly Review, October to December.
Sorry.
10.2.2, Courthouse Gallery Quarterly Review, October to December. Officer's recommendation is on page 59. Is there any points of clarification?
Second. Okay.
10.2.3. Yep. Page 69. GP Housing Quarterly Review, October to December. Officer's recommendation is on page 71. Any points of clarification?
No points, Madam Chair.
A mover and a seconder. Right, 3-0. Right. 10.2.4, Town of Poorhead and Leisure Facilities Management Contract Second Quarterly Report. Officer's recommendation is on page 77. Is there any points of clarification?
Yes, Madam Chair, if I could just have a brief explanation from the officer around the Table 1 content. On page 76.
Through the chair, Table 1 provides a snapshot of the three facilities, Wanneroo Stadium, Great Wick Aquatic Centre and South Headland Aquatic Centre, total budget versus total actuals, and as you can see there's a fairly substantial figure where the budget's behind what was budgeted for. And then some of the explanation is in the dot points below. Now within those sort of six or seven dot points, there are some things like the difficulties experienced with the wave rider machine that ultimately may come back to council for consideration. And there are other things which clearly belong with the responsibility of the YMCA as a facility manager. So we have a full day budget session with the YMCA this Friday, where we will basically be trying to sort out all of the outstanding financial issues right back from when practical completion of the contract with CAA was granted right through up until now, with the intention of bringing a comprehensive report to Council in March to allow for any adjustment that Council considers to endorse to be included in the March quarterly budget review.
Thank you, Director. Just through you, Madam Chair, I just had difficulty in reading it. I get the explanation, but you've got the figures showing budgeted income and budgeted expense, and I can see that the total reflects in the first column the difference of that. And then I can see the second column of actual, the 771 reflects the difference between that. What I don't understand is the expenditure line, which shows a budget of $2,500,000 and the actual expenditure as $2,400,000, and yet you've shown a negative figure. Should that not be, does the income budgeted was less than the actual, so should...
So based on budget to actual, revenue is up and expenditure is down.
That's
on that reporting period.
But then the total down there adds the revenue and the expenditure together. I couldn't understand that, so sorry, I was...
So it's just showing the budget position versus the actual as of 31st of December? And then it shows the variance in revenue, so there's a
through the chair, that table is actually incorrect.
Yeah,
The headings are actually back to front.
Thank you.
It is actually, as I was saying in my explanation, it's actually $300,000 worse than budgeted.
Yeah.
So therefore, the if you have a look on the YMC, so apologies for the error in that table, if you have a look on page 82, which is the YMCA's, you can see that it's the summary of the YMCA's budget where the headings at the top were actually correct.
Yeah,
the budgeted position is much better than the actual position by $300,000. So I think that probably...
Thank you. I just couldn't make sense of the table. So that's right. No, that's fine. No further...
Points of clarification.
If I can please, Madam Chair, just... In regards to the wave machine, is that fixed up now?
Certainly, through the chair, certainly one side of the machine is still operational. That's the, I guess as you're looking at it, the left-hand side is still operational. The right-hand side was obviously temporarily repaired for the opening. And my understanding is it's still not fully functional.
So have we gone back to the manufacturers and installers and progressing that to get it fully operational?
Yes, we are. We've had the shaft and the impeller removed and to be replaced with a room shaft.
Okay. I just also is noted in regards to the lower than expected attendances at Gratwick. And I'm just wondering, is there discussions with the YMCA in regards to trying to increase those attendances or try and attract people to Gratwick?
Through the chair, certainly one of our key discussion points for Friday with the YMCA is how do we finish off the financial year between now and the end of the financial year, and how do we look at the areas that we're down in, certainly increasing the attendance at Gratwick is one of those.
Yeah, and certainly the swim school numbers not meeting expectations because of the cyclone and all the interruptions and things that happen, that's a given there, certainly. I guess just interested to see how discussions will go in regards to duty management and lifeguard costs being over-expended, because I do believe that the fantastic attendances and the $1 pool initiative probably have contributed a little bit to that, but I guess going forward, how are we working together with the YMCA to make sure we've got appropriate duty and lifeguard provisions in future?
Through the chair, I think the answer to that is certainly yes. The increase, so the reduction in entry fees has had a huge difference to the attendances of the chat, which has caused the YMCA to need additional duty management and lifeguard costs, staffing. I also think that there's some areas that can be reviewed where they can actually be a bit more efficient. And that's certainly the discussion for Friday.
Great. I'm just wondering, is there an opportunity within the recommendation or just how we can bring some of these discussions to the attention of full council? Just I just worry about our partnership between the YMCA and how it's working, and just making sure that we are getting together and making sure that we are really looking and investigating the strategies and really making sure we're improving not only the financial position but just how these are working in regards to particularly the two centres.
Through the chair, so as I mentioned, the intention out of Fridays and any subsequent meetings with the YMCA is to have a financial position understood and finalised by the end of February,
mm-hmm.
allowing us to bring a full report to the March Council meeting. So that's how I guess we would bring all of the updated information to Council.
Mm-hmm.
Staff do meet with the YMCA locally on a monthly basis. I guess part of the difficulty that we've experienced as officers around, I guess, the partnership, as you say, is actually getting comprehensive information from the YMCA about, they certainly have provided the town with claims for costs, but then haven't necessarily provided the information to support the detail around those costs, and we have experienced difficulties in getting that information. I mean, that's also part of the exercise for FIRE, is to have basically to sit down and work through all of the period up to where we are now. And also specifically to spend some time between myself and the CEO of the YMCA to, say, get things back on track in terms of the partnership, as you say.
And, Madam Chair, through you, will that include some clarity in regards to the ground maintenance and tree maintenance, palm maintenance, and all that sort of stuff that's happening, particularly at Shack, pre-cyclone cleanup, sorry?
Through the chair, happy to include that on the agenda.
Please, because I don't think a good pre-cyclone clean-up has happened at that facility for a while, and that's having some implications in terms of debris and, you know, opening possibilities after events.
Through the chair, just quickly, certainly we've been looking at ways of keeping debris out of the pools during cyclones, thinning out the foliage around, and certainly, you know, some of the dead palm fronds would help the process.
Yeah, I just think clarity in terms of who's financially responsible, because I think they've submitted a claim to us seeking some contribution, but I think we just all need to have an understanding going forward and have that ready for this upcoming year's pre-cyclone cleanup.
Any further points of clarification?
No points,
mover and a seconder. Show of hands. 3-0. Ten point three point one, the quarterly budget review with the officer's recommendation on page 101. Is there any points of clarification?
Yes, Madam Chair, just through you, if I could just have a brief look through by the officer around the table with regards to the budget movement table.
Absolutely. Thank through you, Madam Chair. With the committee's indulgence, I would like to reissue a revised variations listing. Having finalised the quarterly budget review, we have two proposed changes that we would like considered.
Mm-hmm.
One of those relates to the retirement village sewer upgrade. During the course of this process, we received advice that we would get some external funding from the retirement village board. The scope of that project, or the final quote on that project, has yet to be finalised. We had recognised a proposed saving of $25,000 in the report. We think it more prudent to not declare an estimated saving of $25,000 at this point,
mm-hmm.
and that leaves $75,000 to undertake the sewer upgrade.
That's very cool.
So it does change our projected bottom line by that $25,000 if the committee and council are comfortable with that. We just think it's a bit more appropriate than coming back in March
mm-hmm.
with the final quotes to say, well, actually, we need a bit more money.
Mm-hmm.
The other point is in relation to...
Excuse me.
The Wanangara Stadium signage project. We have a budget variation in here, recognising $214,000 to undertake the signage project and the subsequent transfer from reserve. That part of the allocation actually reduces the funding available in the community partnership or BHP partnership program line item, which is a bulk line item in the budget. We need to reduce it by $214,000 and effectively transfer that money back to reserve to then transfer the money out of reserve specifically to the signage project. So I have revised variations listing here. If the chair is happy for me to distribute those, that would be wonderful. In terms of the table, excuse me, I'm sorry about that.
Sorry.
Are you happy?
Yes.
In terms of the table, I've tried to make it really clear about our original starting position and how we move through the year and monitor the progress of the budget as we make our way through the financial year, keeping an eye on our projected end of year position and again focusing on that unrestricted cash figure. So the original budget, I've separated out into two line items. One is the impact on unrestricted cash of the original budget as it stands alone, ignoring any brought forward surplus. The second line item is taking the estimated carry forward surplus into account and the impact of essentially removing that and looking at the budget standalone. Excuse me. Then minuted council resolutions are resolutions by council outside of the quarterly budget review process that have an impact on unrestricted cash. Within this is $150,000 in relation to elected member payments and $10,000 to do with the Youth Involvement Council refund of planning fees. Then another item that has impacted our projected unrestricted cash position is carry forward work. So these are re-voted projects from the prior year that weren't completed by 30 June 2013 and effectively have to be reinstated into the budget. An important point about this figure is that it's net of any funding. So if it was a wholly grant funded project, it would have nil impact on unrestricted cash, but where it was being funded by general purpose revenue, it certainly does have an impact on our unrestricted cash position. Then at the September quarterly budget review, excuse me, council adopted variations that led to a $951,000 improvement in our projected year-end position in terms of unrestricted cash, and the proposed variations for the December QBR, taking into account the retirement village alteration of $25,000. We're recommending proposed variations that lead to an improvement in our projected year-end position of just over $3.7 million. That takes us to an estimated movement in our unrestricted cash to 30 June 2014 of $583,000. Whilst we're projecting an improvement of that magnitude, we must remember that our opening unrestricted cash at 1 July 2013 was negative $624,000. So we've had quite some ground to make up. We're really closing that gap, and our estimated unrestricted cash position at this point to 30 June 2014 is negative $41,920, so negative $42,000. However, what's a really important point to stress around that is that unrestricted cash figure can be influenced by movements in balance sheet items. So for example, movement in our trade creditors balance and movement in our trade debtors balance. If we improve our effectiveness at getting our accounts receivable in the door and paid and into our bank account, then we should see that unrestricted cash figure lift up. Alternatively, if we were to hold back on creditors' payments, we'd end up with more cash in the bank because we haven't paid anybody. So movements in those two can really fluctuate. And until you've had, I think, a pattern of a few years to work out what's a normal trade creditors balance, what's a normal trade debtors balance for us, you can see that fluctuate. So this looks at our projected budget position, assuming that all those other things remain equal.
Cool. Thank you very much, thank you, Madam Chair. I've got no
further. Any further points of clarification? Uh-huh. Mover in a second. Second. Show of hands. 3-0. Next one is
10.4.1, terms of reference of the Town of Port Hedland Audit and Finance Committee, with the officer's recommendation on page 107. Any points for clarification?
No point, really.
As a deputy member through the chair, am I allowed to ask a question at this point in time? Clarification?
Discretion, yep.
Oh, yes, you may.
Oh, thank you. Regarding the Office of Recommendation, acknowledge Council's request to review its terms of reference. Is that sort of presently in the process?
Through you, Madam Chair, suggesting it's being done, and the Office's recommendation is to leave the terms of reference as they currently stand.
So that's actually already been finalised?
By staff, yes.
I see.
Okay, next is 10.4.2, 2013 compliance audit return. The officer's recommendation on page 110. Any points of clarification?
No points, Madam
Mayor. Move and a seconder, please.
So
moved. 3-0. Late items as permitted by presiding member, nil. Item 12, motions which previous notice have been given is nil. Item 13, confidential items, nil. Item 14, applications for leave of absence.
Yeah. Madam Chair, I do have leaves from the 26th to the 28th of February.
Can I please request for the Council of Van Voort from the 27th of March to the 15th of April?
Any against?
Next week,
February. I'm getting a bit carried away.
February.
Okay.
Let me just check back. I'm getting
to
a bit
April.
Confused. Yeah. Yes, that's correct. February, March are very similar dates. So, 27th of February until the 15th of April. The Council of Van Voort.
Okay. Any movers and seconders?
Happy to move.
Second.
3-0. Item 15, closure. The date, 15.1, date of the next meeting.
So through you, Madam Chair, I didn't know whether Director of Corporate Services just wanted to advise of the budget schedule.
Yes, I do. In terms of next Audit and Finance Committee meeting, if we could perhaps consider the 20th of May, that will be our next quarterly budget review. Internally, at Executive this week, we've had a review of the proposed budget timetable and are proposing to run a number of councillor budget workshops, basically every Wednesday through the course of April, and then continuing on into May. If council are comfortable with that, we could get some firmer timelines around those. We currently have managers developing their budgets at the moment for next financial year and the outlying three financial years after that. Once they come back in, we have internal finance review to make sure that there aren't actually any anomalies or things happening outside of the budget parameters. and things like loan repayments and so forth that finance attend to. Then we've got a series of executive budget workshops to make sure that we've correctly resourced our core operations, and then we should be in a position to present a list of, budget, operational budget, proposed capital works programs, community budget submissions that we may have received, and then start workshopping through that with elected members. In the meantime, if I may, I would really appreciate it if elected members would like to start submitting their initiatives that they would like to see considered. We'll build a schedule of budget initiatives where council can go through and prioritise. That would be really appreciated. And also with Council's support, we would like to start the media request for community budget submissions, and separate to that, but in the same sort of vein, seeking applications or expressions of interest for community donations, financial assistance. So we're just distinguishing the two, one being financial assistance donation, the other being requests which might be sealing of my road or construction of new curb and gutter, that sort of thing.
Something of the third one.
Yeah, can we get up first one? First one.
So just if I may, Madam Chair, just before we do close, can I introduce Peter Coxon? Peter's our new Manager of Financial Services. Peter's joined us on Monday, has a long, distinguished career, plus he's been in local government. So Peter has had significant experience in local government in the finance sector, and we're thrilled to have Peter on board and for him to be able to provide his support to the Director and to strengthen our financial reportage and our clarity.
Welcome, Peter.
Closure. No further business.
15.2, now the closure. There being no further business, the presiding member declared the meeting closed at 12:55.
Well done, Chair.